Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Hello and welcome to Africa Link this Thursday, the 23rd of August. We are live from our DW studios in Bonn, Germany. My name is Wanjiko Mwaura.
And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Glad you could join us. We're also live on our Facebook page, DW Africa, so feel free to share your comments with us.
That's right. Now coming up, Uganda's political drama unfolds as opposition member of parliament, Robert Kyagulanyi, is released from the military court.
This court hereby terminates the proceedings against Honorable Robert Kyagulanyi. You are accordingly set free unless being held on other charges.
But the joy was short-lived as the MP was rearrested to a civilian court.
And in Kenya, many, including celebrities and human rights activists, called for the release of Robert Kyagulanyi, popularly known as Bobby Wine.
I came out today because as a law student, I feel it's a bit, it's so much injustice about how a member of parliament, Bobby Wine, were arrested. I would want to see change. I would want to see human rights being respected. I would want to see a very justice government.
All that plus your responses to our live Facebook page right after the news in brief.
My name is Jen Nyingi with DW News. Britain has told companies trading with the European Union they would face a tangle of red tape, possible border delays and more costly credit card payments if the government fails to negotiate an exit deal before Britain leaves the bloc. Brexit Minister Dominic Raab has, however, remained confident that they will come up with a good deal.
The vast majority, roughly 80% of the withdrawal agreement, has now been agreed, and we're making further progress on those outstanding separation issues. And of course, those settled issues include our agreement on citizens' rights, so that 3.5 million EU citizens living in the UK and the 1 million Brits living in the EU have their rights assured and can carry on living as they do now.
Italy has allowed 27 unaccompanied children to disembark on a ship carrying more than 170 migrants, days after Interior Minister Matteo Salvini said no illegal migrants will be allowed to set foot on Italian soil. Italy has insisted that the rest of migrants will remain on the ship in Catania until other European Union countries commit to taking some of them. Ugandan pop star turned politician Robert Kyagulanyi, commonly known as Bobby Wine, has been charged with treason after a military court dropped illegal possession of firearms charges against him. In Kenya, protests were held in the capital Nairobi demanding his release. The protesters, led by activist Boniface Mwangi, said the detention of Bobby Wine was politically motivated and urged Yoweri Museveni, who is the president of Uganda, to release him unconditionally.
Museveni is afraid of Bobby Wine, who is one man. But Bobby Wine is not an individual. Bobby Wine is about an idea called people power. And people power can't be stopped. People power can't be jailed. So Museveni is afraid because he's going to fall and he's afraid of Bobby Wine. But Bobby Wine is one person who represents millions of Ugandans and millions of Africans who are tired of bad leadership, who are tired of corruption, who are tired of dictatorship.
This news comes to you from DW in Bonn, Germany. The South African government has lashed out at President Donald Trump after he tweeted that his administration would be looking into farm seizures and the large-scale killing of farmers in South Africa. President Cyril Ramaphosa said Trump's tweet was based on false information and seeks to divide the country. Still on President Trump, he has warned that the U.S. economy would crash if he were to be impeached. Trump was speaking in a television interview about his mounting legal worries after his former lawyer Michael Cohen pleaded guilty to crimes which implicate him. Cohen alleges that Trump knew of an illegal pre-election scheme to buy the silence over women of women who claimed he had affairs with them. For more news and information, head to our Facebook page, DW Africa. My name is Jen Nyingi.
This is DW's Africa Link program. I am Eddie Micah Jr.
With me, Wanjiko Mwaura. A very warm welcome to you listening to this program on our Facebook page, DW Africa. And I'm speaking about Ronald, who says he's listening from Dar es Salaam and adds, free Bobby Wine. We also have Emmanuel. We see you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Now, the Ugandan Army Court has dropped all charges against opposition legislator Robert Kyagulanyi, popularly called Bobi Wine. Kyagulanyi had earlier been charged with possession of firearms and ammunition. But although the charges have been dropped, his troubles seem far from over.
Our correspondent Alex Gita reports that he has been handed fresh charges of treason under a civilian court.
Robert Kyagulanyi was transported on Wednesday night to Gulu District, where the court proceedings took place. This was to avoid any uprising from rioters who have staged protests over the past 7 days. In Gulu, however, they were welcomed by hundreds of people outside the Gulu Army Barracks. He was led into a room, where the chairman of the General Court Martial, Lieutenant General Andrew Guti, said he was free of all charges.
It is fair and equitable that the accused person be tried in civil court, where he is to be charged with other suspects who are not before this court. This court hereby terminates the proceedings against Honorable Robert Kyagulanyi. You are accordingly set free unless being held on other charges.
After Guti's statement, Kyagulanyi broke down and cried. Looking frail and weak, he walked out of the court on crutches and being supported by his colleagues. After exiting the military court, he was informed by one of his lawyers, Medad Lubega Segona, that he was under arrest and was expected in a civilian court.
We shall fight from court the same way we have fought here. Accordingly, I have been informed to inform you that you are under arrest. We shall cooperate with them to the extent that we can.
Kyagulanyi now joins four other members of parliament and 40 other people who have been charged with treason. One of his lawyers, Asumani Basalirwa, told DW that the charges are part of the continued political persecution.
Whether it is treason or unlawful possession of firearms, we still maintain that these charges are fabricated. It is really a political persecution and has nothing to do with the fact that the Honorable Bobi Wine and the others really committed these offences.
As Kyagulanyi appeared before court, the police in Kampala was surrounding homes of many opposition politicians and stopped them from travelling to Gulu to join him. Kizza Besigye and Kampala Mayor Erias Lukwago were temporarily arrested as they tried to force their way out of their homes. But police found a hard time stopping Ingrid Turinawe of the Forum for Democratic Change.
Get out of my way! Can you get out of my way?
Why all this?
Why are you here? Why are you here? I don't want to come out of the vehicle without reason. Tell me the reason why. Can you leave my children alone?
Madam, we have tried to act in a good way.
Come out.
There were protests in support of Kyagulanyi in neighboring Kenya and in South Africa. Kyagulanyi was sent to prison where he will remain until the 30th of August, when he will appear in court. But this time, he is allowed to see doctors of his choice to receive treatment.
DW's Alex Jita with that report.
Now, Comrade Ishak, I see you on Facebook. You're joining us live from Kebbi State, Nigeria. Thank you so much for joining us. And remember, this is a story that has been followed by people across the world, AD, under the hashtag Free Bobi Wine. There have been protests even here in Berlin, Germany. But just across the Ugandan border, Kenyans have joined their counterparts demanding for the release of the Ugandan musician and MP, popularly known as Bobi Wine.
Now, activists under Power 254 Kenya, members of the Law Society of Kenya, celebrities also like Kenya's Sauti Sol Band and the Kenya National Commission on Human Rights, they all rallied their members to join hundreds of Kenyans who pushed for his release. Andrew Waseke was at the protest on the streets of the Kenyan capital and sent in this report.
I am on the streets of the Kenyan capital where hundreds have rallied to demand that all charges facing the Ugandan legislator should be dropped. The crowd is marching to the Ugandan embassy in Nairobi, chanting slogans such as, Museveni must go, say no to torture. They sang freedom songs and other songs in praise of the musician.
Silence is deadly!
Silence is
deadly!
Let us rise up, we kick the dictator out. Museveni must go!
The youths carried placards written, Kenyans in solidarity with Ugandans. A man leads them on. As the crowds march holding placards that criticize Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni's government, I caught up with human rights activist Alamin Kimathi, who was imprisoned in Uganda and released in 2011. He said that civilians in Uganda should not be tried in military courts, a treatment which was meted against Bobi Wine.
This is now the call for the freedom of the people of Uganda. The march here now is to call for the release of all political prisoners in Uganda, is to call for the end of military courts trying civilians in Uganda. The young people of Uganda are showing the way for the end of the military rule that has been disguised as a democratic rule in Uganda.
26-year-old Sheena Demba, a Ugandan and a law student in Kenya, says she wants change in her home country, and Bobi Wine was fighting for that change.
I came out today because as a law student, I feel it's so much injustice about how a member of parliament, Bobi Wine, were arrested. I would want to see change. I would want to see human rights being respected. I would want to see a very justice government. I like what we have. I want to see a better government than we have right now. And, you know, we have a radical kind of government in Uganda. So I think I want change. As a young person, I want to see different than what I've experienced.
Popular human rights activist Boniface Mwangi, who organized the protest, tells me that what pushed him to plan the protest was the concern that Kenyans had for the people of Uganda, especially on social media.
So we are here in the streets of Nairobi today as young Kenyans, and we're here in solidarity with the people of Uganda, and Bobi Wine has been arrested in Uganda. We're saying that Uganda must be free from the dictator who's called Museveni. We're tired of those kind of dictators. He's one of the last many dictators in East Africa. Museveni is afraid of Bobi Wine, who is one man, who represents millions of Africans who are tired of bad leadership, corruption, who are tired of dictatorship. And we're here to voice that frustration, that there's no way Museveni can victimize, intimidate, and arrest an innocent man. That man must go home to his family. He's an innocent man who is in jail.
The U.S. State Department has also voiced concern over the medical condition of the Ugandan MP. Kenyan MPs under the Young Parliamentarians Association, led by Secretary General Babu Owino, have vowed that if, within a week, the legislator is not entirely released and all charges dropped, they will lead a delegation of MPs to Uganda to hold a protest.
That report by Andrew Osike, who was at the protest in Nairobi.
Now, moving on from the east of Africa to the southern part of Africa, Angola's President João Lourenço is in Europe to promote the country as investment-friendly. In Germany, he is not only seeking ordinary investment in agriculture, technology or construction. Lourenço wants warships.
Now, Angola's interest in acquiring German-built naval vessels is not new. In 2014, as defense minister, he signed a cooperation deal in Berlin and said Angola needed more warships. Now, we have more of this story and a deeper analysis on our page dw.com/Africa. So make sure you go over there and get to check out what is the big deal about Angola's new deal.
Mm-hmm. Now, back to our Facebook page, because of course we posted and you guys have been very active on it. We asked, are these arrests a sign that President Museveni is worried he's losing his grip on power? Of course, this has to do with Bobi Wine rearrested and now be appearing in the civil court. Well, one comment from Jewola Simeon says the military court dropping charges against Bobi Wine is just to save the face of the government so that it will not be tagged as a military regime.
Another comment here from Moussa says any government in power will always act like this. Any opposition party will always fall victim.
One from Kanjo Etienne says the Ugandan dictator is no different from his Cameroon counterpart. He just needed an opportunity to demonstrate his brutality.
And Privilege in Zimbabwe says this is ridiculous. It's high time Museveni leaves in peace. Otherwise, he will be shamed like Mugabe. Remember, this is our top story, Africa, today. So please go over to our Facebook page, DW Africa. Leave us a comment there. We are seeing you and we shall read them when and as we can.
Definitely. You're listening to DW's Africa Link. I am Eddie Micah Jr.
And my name is Wanjiko Mwaura. And we see you who have joined us on our Facebook page, DW Africa. I see Mugaga who says, Museveni needs to be pushed out forcefully. This is a comment coming in on our Facebook page. I also see Sori, who's joining us from Germany, actually. Hello there. And Sarah Kirabo, who is also commenting and responding to Rutareka Alex, who is listening from Kigali.
Now, a lot more is coming up on Africa Link, but before we get into all of those details, we will be moving to Rwanda. In Rwanda, 512 candidates are vying to represent the country's citizens in parliament. They have started combing the country's districts, where they are hoping to be among the lucky 80 who will be picked during the September 3rd polls. But compared to past parliamentary elections, this year's seems quite unique.
Yes, that's right, Eddie. The youth seem more interested in getting into parliament. And there is a reasonable number of candidates under the age of 25 and an estimated 200,000 first-time voters that are the youth. Rwanda boasts a youthful population, making up an estimated 60% of the citizens. But currently, few are represented in parliament. Now, from Kigali, Nasra Bishumba filed this report.
This is the scene on the campaign grounds on one of Kigali's suburbs in Rwanda. But besides this and political party members donning party colors, there is hardly any other sign that there will be an election in this country in less than 2 weeks. Lack of fanfare and pomp are not unusual in Rwanda. What is unusual in this particular election is the number of young people, some as young as 21, who have joined this year's race for a seat in parliament. 23-year-old Jessica Mutesi is a member of Green Party. She tells me why she decided to compete with people, some who are even thrice her age.
I decided to stand because I was confident and I wanted to try my luck when I am still young. I also wanted to encourage other young people to not fear to try. If I am voted for as a young woman, I will make sure that we put in more effort in making sure that people who continue to make teenage girls pregnant, forcing them to drop out of school, are arrested, tried in court, and given appropriate sentences. I would also want those girls to continue with their education and prepare for their future.
Philippe Maimana, who came in second in last year's presidential elections, is one of this year's parliamentary candidates running on the independent ticket. He and three other candidates are some of the first ever to be permitted to stand on an independent ticket.
Citizens are always looking for change, and that gives us more energy as we start the campaigns. My wish, first of all, is that the elections go well so that the voters have the last word. If the voters choose an independent candidate or two, it will begin changing how candidates enter parliament to a point where political parties will allow independent candidates to campaign on their tickets. That way, the voters would have more trust in the process.
On paper, the Rwandan parliament is in charge of controlling government activities, but in reality, most voters find its influence ceremonial. Compared to our neighbors who vote for individuals, Rwandans are required to vote for a political party of their choice, after which the party decides who should take a seat. There are currently only three parties in parliament. The ruling party, RPF, has 42 seats. Their allies, PL and PSD, share 11 seats, 24 seats go to women, and one goes to people with disabilities, while two are representatives of the National Youth Council.
From Kigali, Nasra Bishumba.
And I see a comment here from Nakato Zaira, who says, we want a young generation in parliament and we need democracy and humanity in Africa, especially in Uganda. This is our top story for today's show. That is Bobby Wine's arrest in Uganda, but also ties to that report by Nasra Bishumba about young people being represented in parliament.
Yeah, it looks like it's about time many young people are getting involved in politics or in government. And and why not? Africa has a very youthful population, 77% to be precise. And so, yeah, let's take matters in our hands.
That's right. And this is the premise in which we start.
YouZone.
Now, this week on YouZone, we have a young Malawian trainee doctor, Atupele Zamba, who has mobilized fellow doctors and other medics under what they are calling Doctors Act. Together, the medical practitioners are running an outreach clinic in Doa, one of Malawi's central region districts, as one way of promoting access to healthcare.
Now, the 23-year-old Atupele Zamba, who is a final year medical student in Russia, says she has always felt obliged to support the health service delivery in her home area. Our Malawian correspondent, Miriam Kaliza, visited the clinic and brings us this report.
Hundreds of people have been coming to this outreach clinic for free medical services. Some have traveled as far as 15 kilometers to arrive here in Doa, a district almost 40 kilometers from Malawi's capital, Lilongwe. This temporary clinic is the initiative of Atupele Zamba, a trainee doctor at People's Friendship University of Russia. Zamba says the acute shortage of medical personnel in the country motivated her to give back to her community. But she could not do it alone. The 23-year-old mobilized 8 volunteer doctor trainees, some of whom are her classmates from Zambia, Namibia, and Zimbabwe. She also sought support from other local doctors and health personnel through Doa District Health Office to successfully run this clinic.
So we're doing medical screening for a number of diseases, malaria, diabetes, hypertension, HIV and AIDS, and basically most of the ailments that people in the villages come from, a lot of musculoskeletal pain, neuropathies in their hands. So the team is screening for all of those things and they're being given treatment.
Christina Zina Omareka is one of the beneficiaries at this clinic. She has brought her child and loves the service.
I have been greatly assisted here. The medication that I have received is way better from what I could afford. Going to the hospital was also a challenge for me because it's quite a distance.
Although the outreach is running for a short time, 7 days, it has tremendously helped people, as Samson Banda, another patient, explains.
Here, like most rural communities, people have challenges to access health services because they are far from some communities. With this initiative, many people have been assisted.
Peterson Rubojele from Namibia is part of the trainee doctors at this clinic. He says it was easy for him to join the outreach clinic initiative because he has always wanted to give back to the community.
When I found out about it through my friend, who's my classmate, I was very excited about it. So it was very easy for me to decide because it's about giving back to those who needed the help. The importance of this exercise is that primary health care is very difficult to provide health care to each and every single individual. So with this, we give access to those who would otherwise not be able to go, you know, to pay maybe even if it's a dollar that they have to pay in the hospitals or travel miles just to get to the hospitals. Because with this, we come to the people.
So far, the clinic has reached more than 1,000 people and there is hope that more still come. Zamba urges her fellow young people to be involved in changing their countries.
We need to wake up and we need to do something. We can't just wait for elders and other people to do it for us. We need to help ourselves and we need to help our people as well. It just takes giving yourself and saying, you know what, I'm going to try, I'm going to do it. And here we are, we're doing it.
According to World Health Organization data, Malawi suffer a critical shortage of healthcare workers. Therefore, initiatives like Zamba's are necessary if the country is to achieve Sustainable Development Goal number 3, which calls for promotion of good health and promote well-being of all people.
That report by Miriam Kaliza in Malawi is showing us how the youth are stepping up and doing something to change the society.
Exactly, Wanjiku. Always refreshing to see the young people up to something. Healthcare is very basic and every individual should have access to it. So definitely kudos to this young one.
Speaking out.
Now we head over to Nigeria, where the press is under attack by the state. In a report by Human Rights Watch, it was revealed that Jones Abiri, a journalist and publisher of Weekly Source newspaper in Yenagoa, Bayelsa State, had been held incommunicado for nearly 2 years.
And in another recent case, the Police Special Anti-Robbery Squad, SARS, arrested and detained a Premium Times journalist, Samuel Ogudipe. Local media reported he was arrested for refusing to disclose his source for an article. As Waisu Abubakar Idris reports from Abuja, the so-called press freedom that the country's constitution provides for is being repressed. Take a listen as members of the press and other stakeholders speak out.
From harassment to intimidation and unlawful imprisonment of Nigerian journalists, the Nigerian media is gradually drifting back to the dark days. Ceaseless attacks and assault on journalists are aimed at hindering them from carrying their constitutional duties. Mr. Zubair Idris, a media owner in Nigeria, says this is not acceptable.
The rate at which journalists or media is being muzzled in the country is an aberration and a breach of fundamental rights of the journalists and also the media itself. Look at the demolition of an FM station in Nasarawa State, the gagging of JFM in Jos, and also the detention of Ogundipe of Premium Times and many others that happen. This is something that you never see, even under a military regime. It is something that is totally unacceptable for any journalist or any media house to be muzzled under a democratic dispensation.
But for Raufatu Salami, the secretary of the Nigerian Union of Journalists, believes it's the work of the political class in the country.
What the political class wants to do is to erode the power of the press, is to erode the freedom of the press, make it subjugate it, before they unleash their atrocities on this nation. You will see that it is a political class across board that is fighting the media. And each time we get towards election, we have this heightened tension against the media. So we must take action.
Already, some civil rights organizations have voiced worries about the situation and the dangers it portends. Mr. Deji Adeyanju is the convener of concerned Nigerians who protested against gagging the Nigerian media.
For the first time since 1999, we have seen a deliberate war that is being waged against the press. For us, the freedom of the press cannot be negotiable in a democracy. Any attempt by the government to censor what people write, what people say on television, or what people write on social media is seen as gagging of the press. You know, the government cannot be in charge of running the day-to-day activities, you know, of the country and also be in charge of running the activities of the press. But we in the civil society, we are committed to protecting the media and protecting those who put their lives on the line to report the truth.
As the International Press Institute raises concern on the worsening situation of the media, another radio station has been demolished this week in Oyo State. The Nigerian government may see more protests from the journalists and civil societies in an effort to fight back.
Uwezi Abubakar Idris in Abuja.
And I just quickly have to read this comment from Modu Manka on Facebook, DW Africa, who says, with these reports, we get it live from the ground. Keep up the good work. We benefit from it. Thank you so much for your comment and for everyone else who's joined us live. Now, still in Nigeria, on Facebook, we had asked a question. What lessons should young Nigerians learn from the bloody 2.5 year unrest that killed millions of people? We were joined by Nigerian historian Stephen, who responded to some of the comments that you had.
Definitely. Now, Darlington Nonso Ajibo says, is it really a crime to seek independence, especially when you're being oppressed? Biafra is a struggle that we cannot abandon. In Biafra, we believe because Nigeria as a state is a bad situation. And interesting comment there.
That's right. And remember, you can find all of that on Facebook, DW Africa. My name is Wanjiko Mwaura.
And I am Eddie Micah Jr.
Until next time, goodbye.